This recording accompanies the language ab initio examination. Paper 2. Listening Comprehension for English, November 2025.
Cet enregistrement accompagne l'examen de langue ab initio, épreuve 2, compréhension orale d'anglais, novembre 2025.
Esta grabación acompaña el examen de lengua ab initio, prueba 2, comprensión auditiva de inglés, noviembre 2025.
The start and end of each audio text will be indicated by this sound.
Le début et la fin de chaque texte audio seront indiqués par ce son.
El inicio y el final de cada texto de audio se indicarán con este sonido.
The end of the examination will be indicated by this sound.
La fin de l'examen sera indiquée par ce son.
El final del examen se indicará con este sonido.
Text A. You now have 3 minutes to read the questions.
You are going to hear a podcaster talk about what he does for exercise.
G'day. In today's episode, I want to tell you more about how I exercise. I run on Tuesdays and cycle on Fridays. I used to run on Fridays too, but changed it for a more relaxing end to the week. You all know I came first in the cycling competition last year, so you'll be surprised to hear I now prefer running. I often ask myself why. Maybe it's because I ride in town and running takes me out of town and into the woods. I love hearing the birds sing. I run in the morning and cycle in the evening. I don't like mornings, but whichever activity I do and whenever I do it, I feel really good about myself afterwards. So, what can you expect from me in my next podcast? I've talked about cycling a lot, so I hope you'll be happy to know you're going to hear me describe my favourite run next time.
You now have 2 minutes before you hear the recording for a second time.
G'day. In today's episode, I want to tell you more about how I exercise. I run on Tuesdays and cycle on Fridays. I used to run on Fridays too, but changed it for a more relaxing end to the week. You all know I came first in the cycling competition last year, so you'll be surprised to hear I now prefer running. I often ask myself why. Maybe it's because I ride in town and running takes me out of town and into the woods. I love hearing the birds sing. I run in the morning and cycle in the evening. I don't like mornings, but whichever activity I do and whenever I do it, I feel really good about myself afterwards. So, what can you expect from me in my next podcast? I've talked about cycling a lot, so I hope you'll be happy to know you're going to hear me describe my favourite run next time.
You now have 2 minutes before hearing the recording for a third and final time.
G'day. In today's episode, I want to tell you more about how I exercise. I run on Tuesdays and cycle on Fridays. I used to run on Fridays too, but changed it for a more relaxing end to the week. You all know I came first in the cycling competition last year, so you'll be surprised to hear I now prefer running. I often ask myself why. Maybe it's because I ride in town and running takes me out of town and into the woods. I love hearing the birds sing. I run in the morning and cycle in the evening. I don't like mornings, but whichever activity I do and whenever I do it, I feel really good about myself afterwards. So, what can you expect from me in my next podcast? I've talked about cycling a lot, so I hope you'll be happy to know you're going to hear me describe my favourite run next time.
You now have 2 minutes to finish answering the questions. Text B. You now have 3 minutes to read the questions.
You are going to hear two friends, Ellen and Tony, discuss self-driving taxis.
Guess what I did yesterday, Tony? I took a self-driving taxi.
Wow, Ellen. Tell me about it.
When it arrived, the taxi parked on the other side of the road to me. When I got in, I was surprised it was just like a normal car. It had a steering wheel, and there was no robot driver. Inside, the car was very clean. And when I closed the door, an electronic voice told me to fasten the seatbelt. On a screen in front of me, I could see where I was on a real-time map, the destination, and an estimated time of arrival. When we arrived, the app automatically took the fare. It was impossible to pay any other way, not even by local transport card or cash. Let me show you the app on my phone.
Do you think self-driving taxis will be popular here?
I'm not sure. They can only pick you up and set you down in Zone 1, which makes them a bit inflexible. And some people really don't like that you have to give the app lots of information, even your age.
I wouldn't like that much. But did it feel safe?
The car slowed down often, which reassured me. But that was also a problem for me, because the journey was less smooth than a normal taxi.
That's not good. And I don't think self-driving taxis are for me because I enjoy the conversation with the driver while I'm in a taxi.
You now have 2 minutes before you hear the recording for a second time.
Guess what I did yesterday, Tony? I took a self-driving taxi.
Wow, Ellen. Tell me about it.
When it arrived, the taxi parked on the other side of the road to me. When I got in, I was surprised it was just like a normal car. It had a steering wheel, and there was no robot driver. Inside, the car was very clean. And when I closed the door, an electronic voice told me to fasten the seatbelt. On a screen in front of me, I could see where I was on a real-time map, the destination, and an estimated time of arrival. When we arrived, the app automatically took the fare. It was impossible to pay any other way, not even by local transport card or cash. Let me show you the app on my phone.
Do you think self-driving taxis will be popular here?
I'm not sure. They can only pick you up and set you down in Zone 1, which makes them a bit inflexible. And some people really don't like that you have to give the app lots of information, even your age.
I wouldn't like that much. But did it feel safe?
The car slowed down often, which reassured me. But that was also a problem for me, because the journey was less smooth than a normal taxi.
That's not good. And I don't think self-driving taxis are for me because I enjoy the conversation with the driver while I'm in a taxi.
You now have 2 minutes before hearing the recording for a third and final time.
Guess what I did yesterday, Tony? I took a self-driving taxi.
Wow, Ellen. Tell me about it.
When it arrived, the taxi parked on the other side of the road to me. When I got in, I was surprised it was just like a normal car. It had a steering wheel, and there was no robot driver. Inside, the car was very clean. And when I closed the door, an electronic voice told me to fasten the seatbelt. On a screen in front of me, I could see where I was on a real-time map, the destination, and an estimated time of arrival. When we arrived, the app automatically took the fare. It was impossible to pay any other way, not even by local transport card or cash. Let me show you the app on my phone.
Do you think self-driving taxis will be popular here?
I'm not sure. They can only pick you up and set you down in Zone 1, which makes them a bit inflexible. And some people really don't like that you have to give the app lots of information, even your age.
I wouldn't like that much. But did it feel safe?
The car slowed down often, which reassured me. But that was also a problem for me, because the journey was less smooth than a normal taxi.
That's not good. And I don't think self-driving taxis are for me because I enjoy the conversation with the driver while I'm in a taxi.
You now have 2 minutes to finish answering the questions. Text C. You now have 3 minutes to read the questions.
You are going to hear a radio interview with Rachel Andrews about green energy from global and local points of view.
Good morning, listeners. Today, I'm in an English town centre with Dr. Rachel Andrews, a consultant from a green energy company. So, why is this important, Rachel?
Well, the United Nations believes we should all be able to access clean and low-cost energy. But this has yet to happen, even though renewable energy can be generated everywhere. Surprisingly, it is also usually the cheapest option. Renewable energy is also flexible because modern batteries can store power for up to 5 days for when there is no wind or sun.
What can we do?
Governments have the money and ability to start more renewable energy projects, and they often do. This is good because the United Nations says governments must triple their spending to achieve its clean energy goal by 2050. But another important contribution comes from communities. Even in small towns, you find people with relevant expertise. Here, for example, we have accountants, engineers and fundraisers who are happy to give their time.
Now, let's walk up to Longley Farm. So, why here?
Well, Longley Farm is a great example of a community project. As you can see on this leaflet, the farm has used wind power since 1986, when the original turbine, the machine that generates the power, needed to be replaced in 2015 Longley Farm and the town came together to buy a new one. The farm uses the electricity from the turbine, but extra electricity is sold, and the profit goes to the Green Trust, which offers grants to local projects that benefit the environment. The trust also uses the money to advise schools on how to reduce their water usage.
That's a great project. Thank you, Rachel.
You now have 2 minutes before you hear the recording for a second time.
Good morning, listeners. Today, I'm in an English town centre with Dr. Rachel Andrews, a consultant from a green energy company. So, why is this important, Rachel?
Well, the United Nations believes we should all be able to access clean and low-cost energy. But this has yet to happen, even though renewable energy can be generated everywhere. Surprisingly, it is also usually the cheapest option. Renewable energy is also flexible because modern batteries can store power for up to 5 days for when there is no wind or sun.
What can we do?
Governments have the money and ability to start more renewable energy projects, and they often do. This is good because the United Nations says governments must triple their spending to achieve its clean energy goal by 2050. But another important contribution comes from communities. Even in small towns, you find people with relevant expertise. Here, for example, we have accountants, engineers and fundraisers who are happy to give their time.
Now, let's walk up to Longley Farm. So, why here?
Well, Longley Farm is a great example of a community project. As you can see on this leaflet, the farm has used wind power since 1986, when the original turbine, the machine that generates the power, needed to be replaced in 2015. Longley Farm and the town came together to buy a new one. The farm uses the electricity from the turbine, but extra electricity is sold, and the profit goes to the Green Trust, which offers grants to local projects that benefit the environment. The trust also uses the money to advise schools on how to reduce their water usage.
That's a great project. Thank you, Rachel.
You now have 2 minutes before hearing the recording for a third and final time.
Good morning, listeners. Today, I'm in an English town centre with Dr. Rachel Andrews, a consultant from a green energy company. So, why is this important, Rachel?
Well, the United Nations believes we should all be able to access clean and low-cost energy. But this has yet to happen, even though renewable energy can be generated everywhere. Surprisingly, it is also usually the cheapest option. Renewable energy is also flexible because modern batteries can store power for up to 5 days for when there is no wind or sun.
What can we do?
Governments have the money and ability to start more renewable energy projects, and they often do. This is good because the United Nations says governments must triple their spending to achieve its clean energy goal by 2050. But another important contribution comes from communities. Even in small towns, you find people with relevant expertise. Here, for example, we have accountants, engineers and fundraisers who are happy to give their time.
Now, let's walk up to Longley Farm. So, why here?
Well, Longley Farm is a great example of a community project. As you can see on this leaflet, the farm has used wind power since 1986, when the original turbine, the machine that generates the power, needed to be replaced in 2015, Longley Farm and the town came together to buy a new one. The farm uses the electricity from the turbine, but extra electricity is sold, and the profit goes to the Green Trust, which offers grants to local projects that benefit the environment. The trust also uses the money to advise schools on how to reduce their water usage.
That's a great project. Thank you, Rachel.
You now have the rest of the time to finish answering the questions.